Our first reading is from the letter to the Ephesians church, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation. As I have already written briefly, in reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But to you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Let's have a prayer together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Right, well, the quest of the wise men, the tale of mystery, the first Sunday of Epiphany. Now, most of us like to watch a mystery on telly. I watched Midsummer Murders last week. They're doing the repeats. Very good, I can understand what's going on in the Midsummer Murders. But with the modern ones, with these modern mysteries on television, I really can't understand what's going on. There are so many people involved, and I can't remember who's who and who's... And in the end, I just sit back and relax and wait till the end to see what happens. And halfway through, Judith will say to me, she'll look across and look at me in the chair, and she'll say, "You don't know what's going on, do you?" And I have to say, "Well, no, I don't really." Now, my problem is that the answer to the mystery often comes at the end. But I want to look at this story of the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, because that's what the Epiphany is all about. It's how that we came to realize that Christ died for all people, not just for the Jews. And here we have the wise men, who are pagans, coming to see and find the infant Jesus, the King of the Jews. First of all, these men were men of mystery. Now, in the story of the wise men, we have mystery. These men were men of mystery. They were men of anonymity. And we don't even know their names. All mysteries, speculation has been rife. They were, as I say, men of anonymity. They were legends, and they were trying to fill in what Matthew left out. Now, some deducted that because there were three gifts, there must have been three men. But really, we don't know how many of them were men. We just said there were the wise men coming from the East. It's us that's decided that there were three because of various bits and pieces in Scripture. But we don't really know how many. There might have been 10, there might have been 20, there might have been more. But these men came looking for the baby Jesus. Others thought the Magi were kings because of the words in Isaiah 60, verse 3, where it says, "Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn." And then we have the man, the Venerable Bede. Now, the Venerable Bede was the Northumberland saint, and he must have had a very vivid imagination, because he supplied names, nationality, and even a note of personal appearance about these three men that arrived. Melchior was an old man, he said, with a long white beard. Caspar was a ruddy and beardless youth. And Belthazar was swarthy and in the prime of life. And Melchior was a descendant of Shem. Caspar was a descendant of Ham, and Belthazar was a descendant of Japheth. Where he got all that, I have no idea. And therefore, these men are meant to represent the three main roots of mankind. And if Bede were right, then the wise men would represent anyone in search of truth, whatever age, whatever rank, whatever race. And while such speculation has helped the poets and the hymn writers and the artists who had tried to paint the Epiphany, their honesty forbids us to take them as more than imaginary embellishments. And the Magi remain a mystery. That's the first point. The second point is the star of Revelation. Because if the star led to Christ, then it was indeed a star of Revelation. It revealed at the beginning of the Gospel that the Christ child was born to be the Saviour. And the gospel then revealed Christ as the way and the truth and the life. And it assumed that these wise men were students of the stars. They were worshippers of light. They were pagans, but they were searching. And in a way, they represent all who search and find. "Seek and you will find," said Jesus. And that's a truth that's in Scripture all the way through. Now, many today don't know what it is they're searching for. They may be searching for meaning to life or to life itself, but there's a great mystery. And when I look back over 30 or 40 years, now the ignorance regarding what the basics of the Christian faith is all about is quite frightening, really, because people really don't know much about what the Christian faith is all about. and they build their own faith. You know, you get people on television and they say, well, I'm a very spiritual person. And then they go on to explain what they believe for themselves. And they've taken a bit of this and a bit of that and a bit of the other. And they have a few crystals here and there to find out what's going on. And they build up their own religion. And that's what we've got in our society today. Many people, or most people, might claim to be spiritual. But in actual fact, when it comes to their relevance to the Christian faith, it's not there. And now these wise men were astrologers. They were in search of a king, the king of the Jews. And they were searching from within a pagan culture for greater truth. They were starting from way back. I always remember that story of Paul when he went to Athens on his missionary journey. He got there and he saw all these altars to the various gods that the Athenians and were following. And he looked round and he saw all these, I don't know how many there were, but he eventually came to one and it said, the altar to the unknown God. And he thought, this is the key. And he began to preach to these people about the unknown God as being the Lord Jesus Christ. And he preached the gospel. And he says, that's the unknown God that this altar of yours represents. And he told them about Jesus. And we told that a number believed, but many were skeptical. And they were a bit mixed bunch. But he preached the gospel. And he was starting from way back. And many people today are searching from within a pagan culture of humanistic secularism. They're looking into New Age, and as I say, astrology or occult. And we need to point them to a star which will lead them to find Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life. Christ, the light. And if these kings were from foreign nations and they knelt at the sight of the infant Christ, did they see in him the light of the world? Well, we don't really know. But the star of the Epiphany recalls other scriptural references to stars. One ancient prophecy of the Messiah in Numbers says a star will come out of Jacob. Revelation calls Christ the morning star. 2 Peter 1:19, Jesus is referred to as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. And this is the star which people search for and to which we need to direct them. And it's interesting that many wise men were astrologers. They would see the star in the east and they would know what it predicted. And they said it predicted a king. But only a few decided to follow this star which was leading them to the king. Others didn't bother to look. Now, like many things, how's that like many people today? They can't be bothered to look. And it's true that today some look in the wrong places, others find can't be bothered to look at all. And for those that do search, Jesus said they would find. And I wonder if the church could be accused of clouding out the star so it can't be seen at all. Or perhaps only dimly. Thirdly, the spirit of their search. Well, the motivation for the Magi and the diligent spirit in which they persisted in their long search for truth still inspires those who today make that journey of faith. It can't have been easy for these men to leave their homes and their family in search of a Jewish king by following a large star in the sky. But they did. And even after 2,000 years, what the Magi did is a challenge to us, and it's a challenge to our hearts and our minds and our wills. And the truth is, the journey of faith is never easy. It demands an open mind. It demands determination of will. It demands a hungry heart. And to follow the star wasn't for the cynical, but these wise men had to be men of faith. Faith that this child to be born was special. They wouldn't understand much, but they knew it was a special king, and they needed faith in this in order to carry on. They had to be sincere and willing to follow wherever the star led them. And however primitive their religion was, they had the faith to follow the star, and they loved the light. In some way, they regarded the star as a God-given guidance, which they were willing to follow. Now, Josephus was a historian of that time, and he wrote of the intense expectancy which existed throughout the entire East that a powerful leader would come from Judea to deliver the oppressed millions. And if that's true, and Josephus was a very reliable historian, then there was that feeling in the world at that time of the need to look for a saviour to the situations in which they find themselves. A light would arise for those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. And it was this expectancy and this hunger which made the Magi into pilgrims, and they began their journey of faith. And they were starting from way back. And you know, many people today are starting from way back. They have very little knowledge of what the Christian faith is all about. Young people especially. And in some ways, therefore, they are like these wise men. They're coming from a place of a pagan place. And many of them are searching for something that they don't quite know what. Often they're looking in the wrong places. And we need to point them to this star of Jesus, who is the way and the truth and the life, and who is the light of the world. And as I say, it was this expectancy, this hunger, which made the Magi into pilgrims, and they began their journey of faith. Remember when I was in Yeadon, in my last parish, we were running an Alpha course, and the church was near this very large roundabout on the main road from Leeds out into the Dales. And our church was very nearby, and right on the roundabout was an independent church, a Baptist and Methodist joint church, and they had a marvellous notice board, huge it was. And I said to them, and said, can we use that to advertise the Alpha? And they said, yes, we can. Yes, and so we did. And we put this notice up. Anyway, telephone rang. I can't remember whether the telephone or whether somebody called. Anyway, somebody called at the house, and this chap said, I've just driven 3 times round that roundabout to get the telephone number to ring so I could find out. He said, I'd love to know about this. And he lived out in a place called Guiseley, Menston Guiseley, a lovely area. And he said, I'd like to come. He said, I've come down here to work. And he said, I saw this notice. And he said, I thought I'd like to go on that. But he came from nowhere. No background. Nothing at all. And he came along about 4 or 5 times. And I'm not sure whether he finished the course. But at least he started. And it might lead on to something else later on. We don't really know. But these wise men were explorers, ready to face hardship. And when they heard about the resurrection of the dead in the Areopagus, some of them, it says, sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on the subject. And a few believed. I wonder whether when they set off on their journey, these wise men maybe sneered? I don't know. Were they doubting, or were they just going with the rest of the crowd? We don't know, but this journey of faith is never easy for anybody. We all begin at different places, and perhaps you are finding that yourself. And the Magi had the courage and resolve to follow the light wherever it led, and whatever the cost. And of course, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And the journey of faith which led to the light and to the pilgrim journey which followed was never going to be easy. It needed fortitude and determination. The journey is not short or easy. And sometimes we sing, don't we, of the Magi, as with joyful steps they sped, Saviour to thy lowly bed. I wonder whether that's true. As with joyful steps they sped, Saviour, to thy lowly bed. That's from the hymn, As with Gladness Men of Old. But often their steps must have been painfully slow. The journey over the mountains took months. It took guts to continue. And we get some indication of how long the journey took by the fact that Herod, having questioned the Magi, about the star that appeared and was told the length of time, Herod had all the children under two killed. So we can probably assume that it took these wise men 2 years to get to visit the baby Jesus. But when they got there, he wasn't the baby Jesus, he was a toddler. And the Greek word that's used for this child Jesus, was a toddler. It wasn't a baby, and they were living in a house, not in the stable. And so we can assume that by the time the Magi got to where they were going, Jesus was a toddler of 2 years old. And when Herod found out about this, he had all those under two killed, in case there was somebody there among those little children would be a competitive replacement for him later on. Often the Magi must have felt like abandoning the search as the hardships increased and their resolve was tested. However, they had what the saints of old called the grace of continuance. That's interesting, isn't it? The grace of continuance. They persisted. They kept right on to the end. And the Bible makes clear that to be a Christian pilgrim is hard work and involves grit and determination on our part, both as Christians and as those who are seeking Christ. On God's part, he promises to be with us on the road, to walk with us, to be our comforter and our counselor, to be able to be Christ to us as we walked along by his Spirit. He promises to guide us and teach us and encourage us, and he gives us his word to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And in Scripture, the pilgrim walk is described as a battle with us as soldiers of Christ, as runners in a race, keeping our eyes firmly fixed ahead and focused on the finishing tape. Strangers passing through an alien land, we are encouraged to count the cost before we begin and are prepared for suffering. However, we are promised joy and purpose and meaning and direction at the end. We have a future. We have a hope in Christ, and that's the pilgrim way. With the Magi, we have wise men searching for a new Saviour King, moving from a belief that the destiny of humanity was written in the stars to the discovery of the Saviour Child. And so here were men who had spent their lives studying the stars, who pioneered astral navigation across the trackless desert sands. They were men of vigor and great intellectual integrity. They'd begun their journey from nowhere, really. But they believed that as they searched, they would find the Christ, the Savior. Let's remember that modern mathematics and astronomy owes much to the ancient East. Let's remember that they were men of humility and reverence, and they came to kneel before the child, Jesus. We've seen his star in the east, they said, and I've come to worship him. And as we tread the pilgrim way, we need to understand that like Christ, the morning star, we need to be people of humility and servanthood as Christ was. And we too must always be people of humility, kneeling to worship the Christ who was born, who died to give us life now and for eternity. And finally, the inspiration they provided. The Magi may have been disciples of Zoroaster, but whatever the incompleteness of that religion, it kindled in them a love of light and a zeal to discover truth. And following what little light they had, even though it was a glimmer in the midnight sky, it finally brought them to Christ, in whom all wisdom and truth is found. And they felt they had found in him the light of the world. And so having presented their gifts, they knelt humbly in wonder and praise and adoration. And the wise men show us what our attitude should be on our pilgrim journey. It also shows us the importance of helping those of other faiths to see in Christ the light of the world, the way, the truth, and the life. And that means respecting those of other faiths who have admirable lives living without the light, but maybe searching for it. and yet humbly saying, we need to say to them, there's more. There's more. And when I meet people on this journey, and it's a very immature understanding of what they're looking for, and I point them to Christ, and maybe move them along a bit further on their journey of their search, I feel like saying, like Jimmy Cricket, the comedian, there's more, there's more. I knew Jimmy Cricket. He was in the pantomime at the Bradford Alhambra a few years ago. A lovely Christian man, the Irish, was part of the Christians in Entertainment organisation. A lovely man. And I often used to hear him say, there's more, there's more. And let me leave you with that today as you journey in your faith or you journey searching for the Christ. I'd like to point you to him today. And as you discover more and more, I'd like to say to you, yes, there is more. Until you come to that point, you say, I want Christ in my life. I want him to live within me and I want to walk with him and talk with him. And Christ says, if you do, I'll come into your life and I'll walk with you. It's a tough road, it's hard, but it leads to Jesus, the light of the world. And we will not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. We pray that you will just bless us this morning as we think of these wise men journeying to find the Christ. We pray for people in our country, we pray for people in our town of Buckingham, that they may find Christ and that we might be men and women pointing them towards the star. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.